Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Cosmic Circus Review. My name is Vin. With me, as always, is John.
Hello.
And today, we're reviewing our first batch of Sundance movies. Please remember to like, subscribe, and follow. Lots of Sundance coverage coming soon. John, what are we talking about today?
Oh, we are talking about everything that I can possibly or have been able to possibly see at home. Just to remind the viewers, I am not in Utah. I have a disability. I'm here at home, and the only way I can watch movies right now is if the PR people send me anything. The online portion begins tomorrow, which this will be out by that point, but I don't have access to anything online yet. So this is gonna be day zero for the virtual coverage.
Day zero.
Virtual, yeah.
Okay, so we have five movies we're going to be talking about. Middletown, directed and written by Amanda McBain and Jesse Moss. Reigns Over Babel, Spanish, directed and written by Gala del Sol. Life After, directed by Reed Davenport, edited by Don Bernier. Sally, directed and written by Christina Constantini, written by also Tom Maroney. And The Virgin of Quarry Lake, Spanish, directed by Laura Casabe. Screenplay by Benjamin Nashtat, and based on some books by Mariana Enriquez. What do you want to start with?
Good night, Almighty. That's a list that intimidates me, and I'm not even talking about it yet. Let's start with the one that I liked the least of these groups. It's not that it's a bad film. I think it's got some decent performances and it's interesting, but I'm very confused by it. Quarry Lake
Let's go.
is the first one I'll go with. So this is about, kind of like a coming of age kind of drama. Well, I don't even know if you could call it a drama. I don't even know if you could call it a horror film.
Okay.
I don't even know what this is
Okay.
because it's very confusing. It's about a girl who is like living with her family, and she, I think, if I remember correct, she doesn't have her parents around. I think it's her grandma that takes care of her.
Okay.
There's a little bit of like the teenage maturity of like waking up and understanding your feelings, like the things that you're in, like sexuality and stuff like that, like just discovering what you're into, what you're not. And at the same time, there's like a low-key Carrie vibe to this
What?
movie.
A what?
Carrie, you know what? Stephen King's Carrie?
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah, it's very weird, but it's not clear on that for the most part. And throughout the movie, you're trying to figure out, does this girl have some weird kind of like supernatural power? Or is it just like a coincidence that when she gets upset and her emotions take over, that something terrible tends to happen?
This sounds really cool, John. I'm just saying.
Well, I would agree with you if I felt like it landed on a more, how do you say, clear note. The movie ends abruptly, and I don't want to say how, but something really over the top happens, and then it like closes out slowly. And you ever been in a movie where like it starts to end, and you're like, wait a minute, that's it? That's it?
Sure.
That's it? What?
Yeah.
Like, that's basically what happened.
But it's 'cause sometimes that's positive, but this frustrated you.
I think I'm gonna need to see it again. But what I can tell you is that it is very well made. The performances are great. The girl that plays in it, she's a very, very good actress. It was intriguing for what it was, but I don't know if this is for me. But I do think that there's potential here as a filmmaker for something great.
So for you, the biggest problem was really just that ending?
I think the ending is just the only thing that threw me off about it. I appreciated the subtlety of it. And I don't want to give too much spoilers away, but it is an interesting film. The ending just did not work for me.
Okay, got it. Got it.
Yeah, so let's move on to our next. Pick one, anyone.
Sure, Middletown.
Middletown is very good. I actually quite like Middletown. It's directed by Amanda McBain, and I think it's Jesse Moss. So they directed Boy State and Girl State.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen those, but I've heard they're good.
Boy State is the better.
Okay.
Girl State is good because it's more about that situation in the midst of Roe v. Wade and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and all that stuff. But Boy State was like a little more intense because the boys are ruthless in that environment.
Okay.
And the girls were more, it was like more camaraderie among the women. It wasn't as feisty. And I think it was just a different flavor of documentary. Here, it does the same thing where they're looking at a group of kids in high school, but instead of like looking at a present day situation, they're going backwards to the 90s. And then this is like Dead Poets Society meets Erin Brockovich. It is so good. It is about a group of kids that are inspired by a teacher named Fred Isaacs, who like he's got this like very rebellious energy about him, where he'll do anything to like he'll break the law with kids just to help them get a story. He started a class as an English teacher, and he slowly evolved it into a journalism course.
Okay, great.
And from there, they started researching that somebody put a landfill on top of the water supply, and it was
Whoa.
leaking throughout the town.
Okay.
And these kids do the most amazing work in the documentary to expose all of it.
Okay, awesome.
At one point, the funniest part of the documentary, and again, I don't mind kind of talking about it because watching it is funnier than me talking about it.
Okay. Yeah, don't spoil anything.
They bring a journalist in who doesn't do their job, and he thinks he's coming in to speak to kids, but they're actually there to ambush him and get the answers like why he's not doing his job.
Amazing.
It's
That's
amazing.
great.
It's amazing. It's that kind of documentary. I loved it. I think it's a great comeback for him, for Jesse Monson McMahon. It's a great.
This is not fiction. This is real.
It's real. It's a real thing that happened. It's
Amazing.
all.
Incredible.
It's an
Incredible.
amazing documentary. I loved it. It's like it's depending on how the next 4 days goes, it's going to be in my. It's in my favorites right now at
But
the
right now
moment.
it's in your top tier, basically.
Yes,
Amazing.
correct.
Great. Great.
Absolutely.
Great. I'm looking forward to this now. Wow.
Let's go for Rings Over Babel. Rings Over Babel is a weird specimen of a film. It is a wild mixture of a lot of things. As you know, I actually talked with the filmmaker about our movie.
And that
It
video is already up on our YouTube, right? The
is,
interview.
yes. It is based in Colombia. This is a Colombian film. And the press notes said that it was inspired by Dante's Inferno.
Oh.
But it got it from when I talked to her, she said that Dante's Inferno just kind of accidentally became inspiration as they went along.
Okay.
And I mean, hey, sometimes it works out like that. The more you
Sure,
write,
sure.
the more like things come out that way. But it's a retro-futuristic LGBTQ take on Dante's Inferno. It feels like a Baz Luhrmann style
Oh, wow.
film with like Mad Max vibes in different places.
Now you're just saying things.
But it's also got dancing and it's also got a lot of fashion. It's I know that sounds weird. I
But
know that
good,
sounds
but good.
weird.
I like genre blends. Yeah.
But it's good. It's like
Well,
so it's in the next program, if that makes any sense.
the what program?
The next. So the next programming is for anything innovative in film at
Okay.
Sundance. So that genre blend of like wild frenzy style and mixture things is perfect for that.
Okay.
Now to go into the themes a little bit, because it's kind of Dante Inferno's inspired, there is a conversation in this film which I love, where it focuses on, an LGBTQ, well, like characters, and one of them is trans. And it deals with like the way religion deals with that. There's gods in the film. There
Okay.
are gods in the film, and it shows the differences between the way men behave and the way gods
This is very
behave.
interesting, John. This is really
Very,
interesting.
it's
Like this
very
sounds like
interesting.
huge in concept.
It's very huge concept, very ambitious concept. And
But how's the execution?
it's like, here's what I'll say. Here's what I'll say. I really like it. I really do like it. I do think, so she said, and she said in the interview that this movie was made from the outside in. Like they started with like making the characters because she was a theater major. So she got the performers and the story started to write itself
Oh, very
as they,
interesting.
you know what I'm saying? But because it was made that way, you can kind of feel that a little bit. Like you can feel the improv nature, which it's sort of messy, and a little bit maybe messy is not the right word. Fantastic Fest, for example, is a scrappy film festival. They do things very similar to the way this movie does. You can feel the scrappiness of it, but I appreciated it, even though it's a little scrappy the way they did it.
But that's good. That's good. That's fine.
But I liked it. I did like this film.
That's art.
Quite
Great. Great.
So anyway, that's Reigns Over Babel. Got the Dizzle. It was good. Yep.
Sounds amazing. I'm very interested to see this. Okay, Sally.
Sally, this is a little more like it's a little more polished of a documentary. When it starts, you get the Nat Geo brand. So you automatically know this is gonna be a pretty well produced documentary. This is about Sally Ride, is that her name?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the astronaut.
Sally Ride, who was the first female astronaut. This documentary kind of like is exactly what you would think a Nat Geo documentary would be about Sally Ride. It goes from, her youth to like what made her want to be an astronaut to her family to the most interesting part where she had to hide who she was. And I think the most important aspect of this documentary is the fact that it covers everything that she had to do to not be herself for decades and decades to avoid any scrutiny as, as a professional astronaut. And it also goes into the sexism in the program and how a lot of women had to be more macho to not appear to be feminine. Like
I understand.
they couldn't be perceived to be girls. They had to be seen as one of the guys
Yeah, I
in
understand.
order to not get any sexism at all in the program. And for that reason, I do think it is a really well-made documentary. Very touching. It's kind of sad because her life partner is in the documentary and she's old, like older now. And you can see that.
Is that Billie Jean King?
Is that her name?
Yeah.
I don't think.
Isn't she the tennis player?
Yeah, she was a
Wow.
tennis
I did not
player.
know. I don't think I ever knew they were together, because I was looking at the credits and I'm like, hang on, that's a tennis player.
Before we say, let's verify that first. Dr. Tam O'Shaughnessy.
Who's also a tennis player? Oh my God.
Yeah, that's why I got confused. She was also a tennis player. Yes, that's what they meant. So,
That's
it's kind
spectacular.
of, well, it's also kind of heartbreaking, man, because she's older now. And she had to wait till 2000, like till the 2000s to like even to feel comfortable about all this, But the thing is, their entire relationship. The entire relationship was in the dark. They didn't tell anybody because she lived in fear her entire life until the day she died about it. And like I think what is striking about the documentary is just not really just how far we have come, but at the same time how far we have to go still, because people should not have to hide who they are. It's complete nonsense. You can have your opinions, but people should not be afraid to lose their jobs, their world, and everything, their careers, because they love somebody. That is just complete nonsense. And the fact that this was a thing and kind of is still in some places. I just, yeah. So
No.
it's a very good documentary. It's not indie, but it's a very good look at somebody who made a difference, contributed to science, made a difference for women, and made a difference for the LGBTQ community
Huge,
too.
huge, huge impact on the world, especially
Yeah.
America, but the whole world.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
it's a good documentary, which is going to lead us to the hardest conversation you and I are about to have.
But this is Life After, directed by Reed Davenport, edited by Don Vernier.
Okay, I don't even know where to begin with this.
What's it about?
Viewers, I've been nervous about talking about this, since I watched it. It is a very effective documentary. It's a very effective documentary. So Reed Davenport did a documentary about that starts with a study about Elizabeth Bouvier. Bouvier or Bouvier? I don't even know how to pronounce it, but it's Elizabeth Bouvier. In the 80s, she sought out the right to die. That was her initial goal because she was disabled. Resources were not what they were back then, and her quality of life went downhill day to day. Elizabeth Bouvier also had cerebral palsy, like I have cerebral palsy, a worse case of cerebral palsy than I have. Reed Davenport, the filmmaker of this documentary, much to my surprise, also has cerebral palsy. Things I did not know about whenever I requested this. I just looked up, I typed in the festival, disability, disabled, see what pops up, because I always make it a point to try to highlight things that talk about that. So it starts in that area, and then it goes from Elizabeth Bouvier to talking about other people. He interviews other people with the same conditions. Some of them have the same feeling that they want to die. One of them is, I don't remember if he was from America or if he was from Canada, but he was looking into this program called MAID.
Made.
Yeah, medical assistance in dying. And it goes from him to that program. And it goes heavy into that program. Basically, this program started out very restrictive, which it should be very restrictive. Only for the people that either want to die because they hurt so bad they just can't function at all. Or you're terminally ill. You're terminally ill and you're about to suffer. Those are two things that I completely understand. I saw my dad pass recently. I hated watching him suffer. I understand why something like this could perhaps go into effect. But then it shows the slippery slope of having Canada started loosening the restrictions and made it more accessible for people to get into it. There's one part of the documentary where there's a perfectly normal disabled girl who decides she wants to die. And everybody around her is like, "It's your choice, baby girl. It's your choice." And they all just celebrate her life and just let her depart. And there was no reason that she had to do it. And according to Davenport, he, who is perfectly okay, he's got problems, qualifies for this program. And he, I guess you gotta have a dark sense of humor to like go into like these topics. But like he's got the whole form filled out, and he goes, "Hey, fuck like now. It's all over right now.
The dark joke, dark joke.
Yeah, this is it. This is gonna
Oh.
be it." And he doesn't do it, but according to the form, he qualifies. And then they show the newspaper clipping of what I shared with you in Discord, of what a certain leader said. You know who I'm talking about. Now,
Should we read it for context?
I'm just going to say that the current man in power, I don't want to refer to him, the current man in power as of now, allegedly, and again, it's allegedly, I didn't hear a recording. I don't have any proof of it, so I don't want anybody attacking me because this is what is being reported. His nephew went on, so he basically got interviewed by a lot of people, and his nephew stated that his uncle, who is in power right now, said that his son should just die.
My uncle Donald Trump told me disabled Americans like my son should just die. That's the
Just
headline
die. Yes.
from Time magazine.
And what the documentary hauntingly points out is that, I mean, dude, Donald Trump's very interested in Canada right now. He's very interested in Canada right now. And anyway, something I think it pointed out. It might be me just saying that. But Donald Trump is very interested in Canada right now. Then I've spent the greater 4 years, between 16 and 20, thinking about what happened during the Holocaust. And one of the things that I've always thought about is the fact that, Hitler said that the disabled were a drain on the nation. That if they were a drain on the economy, it may not be the exact quote, but that's what he was basically saying. And that, we're not perfect either. We're not the perfect man, as it were. And I just kept thinking, I'm like, there's no way anybody could ever do that again, ever do that again. And then I see this documentary, and I kind of see the makings of how something could happen like that on a very low-key basis, on a very low-key basis, because they don't have to announce that. All they have to do is install this program into the United States and then slowly take away resources. Now, you might be wondering what I mean by that. In the documentary, it talks about the fact that in Canada, some of these people are becoming depressed because the government is figuring out that by loosening those restrictions, they can save a few pennies on helping people like me. That's what they're figuring out. And the only thing I can think is that we're dealing with somebody who just stood on the national stage and gave a very interesting salute on national TV. On national TV.
International, even.
International, yes. And I'm sure, like, if my family sees this, they're gonna tell me, well, no, we would never do that. We would never ever think in that manner. And I have an argument for that. I have an argument for that perspective. 25 years ago, I grew up in Allen, Texas. I don't know if anybody knows where Allen, Texas is. I grew up in that city when it was coming up, being built. You know who built that city? Immigrants. Immigrants built Allen, Texas. I would see them working all the time, building homes, building malls, building everything. 25 years ago, everybody was okay with them doing the work that nobody else wanted to do for probably $6, $7 an hour. Everybody was okay with that. 25 years later, mysteriously, nobody's okay with that now. Even though none of them, not a single person that I know would ever work on top of a house for $6 or $7 an hour. They'll never do it. They never will. So if somebody tells me now, hey, we're never going to consider you a financial burden on this economy, I don't know if I can believe you. Because you changed your minds on that. Like, the thing that scared me about this documentary is that it reminded me how easy it is to toss us in the garbage. How easy it is. And it scares the shit out of, to be frank, it scares the hell out of me. So that's my rant on life after.
I think part of what's dark about it is it's not exactly the government doing that. It's the government pushing you to make that decision yourself.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit scary, maybe even
Yeah.
scarier.
It's a little scarier because they can sit there and argue, we didn't do anything, you did it.
But we simply set up the circumstances and then gave you this exit.
Yeah, it's not that I can't get a wheelchair through Medicaid anymore. It's not that I can't get services as a disabled person anymore. It's not because the system pushed me to the point where I have no way to live. It was me that did that. And it's the scariest form of government gaslighting I've ever seen covered in a documentary ever.
It's a great
And
phrase for it. Yeah.
it's a brilliant documentary, but Mr. Davenport, you scared the hell out of me. And you know what? Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, I think it's something that, like, I think it's something really powerful and effective. And, like, obviously, it affected you strongly, but I think it's the kind of thing we all have a responsibility to see, just to understand this point of view and understand what's happening in the world, even if we don't think it affects us directly, but it does. It affects the people around us, right?
Yeah, so that's where I'm at right now. I've been up. This documentary has kept me up a lot. I've worked pretty well. This is scarier than 80% of the horror movies I've ever watched.
Sure. It's real.
Yeah, that's what's genuinely terrifying about it.
Yeah.
That's my Sundance experience
Heavy stuff. Welcome to
so
Sundance.
far.
Yeah.
And I just want to clarify before this ends, I'm not antagonizing anyone's politics. I'm not telling anyone here that you're a bad person. I'm not saying any of that. But I am interrogating the systems that we have right now. And I think you, no matter who you are on either side, if you got somebody that you love in my position, I think you need to pay attention. And that's where I'll leave it. So,
Well said. Well said. All right, guys. So stay tuned. We have lots of Sundance covering soon. Thank you for watching this video so far. If you enjoyed the discussion, like, subscribe, leave a comment. What are you most excited to see from Sundance? Of these five movies, what are you the most interested in? Stay tuned for more coming soon, soon, soon. And stay in touch. I'm Vin. You can find me on Blue Sky. Vin Writes Words.
I'm John, and you can find me at John Movie Watch on Blue Sky, and I don't know any other place that exists.
And be sure to follow the cosmiccircus.com on Blue Sky and at My Cosmic Circus, where you can find more reviews, articles, editorials, and opinions like the ones you just watched. Thanks, guys. See you soon. More Sundance covering soon.
Bye.
Bye.